Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light. Today, we continue to dive into the multidimensional topic of boundaries, and we are joined by the lovely Emerald Sinclair, who is a love and manifestation coach who helps her clients to connect with the true desires of their heart, offers them the courage and accountability to take action on their dreams, and gives them the practical tools in order to manifest the love of their lives and the life of their dreams. You can find her traveling the world, sharing her wisdom on her podcast, Manifest It All, and creating real life magic along the way. Welcome, Emerald, to this podcast, an episode of Taboo Talks.
Yay, thank you. I'm so happy to be back.
We are so happy to have you back, and we would love to dive right in. As a relationship and love coach who supports their clients in manifesting their dream love and life, I am incredibly amped to jump in as I myself am in the process of manifesting my beloved. So I am curious, based on that, how do you guide your clients to create and communicate boundaries in the dating world? And what does that look like?
Okay. So it's a great question. That's a big question, Heather. However, the biggest thing that I want to say is that when you get clear in what you want and you speak it, whether you're speaking it to the man you're dating, the woman you're dating, it has a really powerful ripple effect. It's not enough to just have the boundary within yourself, but you do need to speak up. And I think about the women in my group program right now, and one of the women was asking, should I tell the guy this, whatever this was, right? I'm not going to get into her story. And one of the reasons I told her that it's important that she shares it with him is because she's expressing the boundary. She's expressing the desire to not only him so that he knows, but to the world, to the universe at large, like, this is what I'm available for. And our words are powerful. Our intentions are powerful. Our thoughts are powerful. They're part of creating a reality. And so that's why I'm also a big advocate of no ghosting. Like, you need to speak up. You need to say what it is that you want or what it is that you don't want. And you can say it in a loving and kind way. But if you keep it to yourself, whatever your boundaries are, then the others don't know how to treat you. And so we have the practical aspect of me telling Heather or Alfina, like, that's unacceptable. But we have the energetic, universal aspect of what's the message I'm putting out to the universe of what it is that I'm available for or not available for. And this is why a very strong part of my coaching practices with my clients is helping them get clear on what they want and have the courage to speak it or take action towards it. And I mean, this all plays into boundaries.
That makes so much sense. And the courage, like, that really hit me, because I identify as a former people pleaser. And I imagine that a lot of your clients do as well. Like, we're just not taught boundaries, and we're often prioritizing and putting other people's feelings, needs, beliefs before ours. And this shows up, like, particularly strongly in the dating world when I'm out on a date and I'm sitting there and I'm like, is this the right to, like, I'm asking myself these internal questions. Like, is this the right time to communicate that I want a serious relationship, or should I wait? Like, I don't want to push him away, or I don't want to seem too much. And I would just love for you to speak a bit more into that process in giving both, like, myself and the listeners the courage, the tools to be able to sit in that space and really have this, like, this center of intuition so strong that we know when is the time to really clearly communicate and hold on to these pillars of truth.
Sure. I mean, there is such a thing as divine timing. And at the same time, it's like, if you already know what you want on date one, then I would say it. And the thing is, it doesn't matter the other person's response. You're not saying, I want a serious relationship with you. You're saying, I want a serious relationship. That's the path that I'm walking down. And if a man on the first date is not in that same category of looking for a serious relationship, then it's going to be important that you speak it sooner rather than later. Because if you'd let it continue on, because what if we don't want the same thing? What if I scare him away? Then it will eventually have an expiration date. It will reach that point where you realize you're not in alignment. So the way I look at it is sooner rather than later to speak about the things that are really important to you. And again, you can say it in a manner of, I would like to get married one day. I do want to be in a serious, lifelong, committed partnership. This is the path I'm on. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know who it's going to be with, but I want you to know that this is what I want. Are we in alignment with that? And if a man is scared or guarded or his heart is closed down, much better to figure that out on a first date rather than the fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh. And so the way I look at it is that you cannot scare away the right guy for you, because the right guy for you is also going to be, I want a serious relationship. I'm looking for the woman who is seriously dating and looking for commitment. I don't want to date the woman that's the party girl. I don't want to date the girl that's dating casually. I don't want to date the girl that's sleeping around. And so the more authentic you are to who you are, and we can say this is boundaries, right? Your boundaries of who it is that I am and what I want, the more authentic you are to that, then you make yourself a match for the right people, and not just potential partners, but friendships as well. But you make yourself a potential, or you make yourself a, let me start over. So the more you are authentic with who you are, what you want, what you stand for, the right people can see that and say, yes, I'm in alignment with that. And the people that are not in alignment with it can see it and exit stage left.
Like, yes. The boundary is almost a pedestal for your truth to really like be boosted and to shine through.
Yeah, I honestly, I view it as like, let your freak flag fly. Like, this is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. These are my boundaries. This is what I'm available for. But just like unabashedly, like unapologetic, here I am. And this is what I stand for. And the right people will be like, yes, I stand for that as well. Or in this case, yeah, I want a serious relationship too. May or may not be with you, but like, we can continue together because we have the same boundaries. Whereas someone else that's just looking to hook up and have a little bit of fun, great, then speak that so that the right people can say, yeah, I want that too. We've got the same boundaries around sex and relationships. Like, this is great.
Yeah, the process that that I'm connecting with is like, step one, get really clear about what you want. Mm-hmm. And then shamelessly communicate that to the universe without attachment to a specific person.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Just said it better myself.
And I've seen that have ripple effects just with even when I say a desire out loud to the universe, and I'll see that come through, or I'll say that desire to a friend and then it will come through, and it doesn't always come through that friend or from that person I'm speaking it to, but the universe is always listening. And I love that you were saying around our energetic boundaries and what we're available for, because we don't necessarily even have to say this is my boundary or this isn't my boundary, but if we're continuously letting a behavior, a pattern, something happen to us, then that's an energetic sign to the universe of this is what I'm available for. And until we energetically, not just verbally say that we're not available for it, but until we actually energetically stop becoming available for it, then we're not clear with what we really want and where we really stand. So we're going to continue to get these kind of leaky, wish-washy energies and wonder, why are people not respecting my boundaries? Well, I'm not respecting my own boundaries.
Exactly. You have to teach others how to treat you. You're the one that creates the rules to play in your sandbox, but then you have to be the one to maintain the rules. So I can say, I am looking for a serious relationship, and I can say that to my date, but then I can also sleep with him on the first date and my actions don't match my words and intentions. Mm-hmm. And so again, our boundaries, we are the ones that are responsible for maintaining them in our thoughts and our words and our actions. And also, if somebody else is stepping over the line, then our thoughts, our words, our actions need to correct. Again, we have to teach people how to treat us. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just, what are you available for? And you need to be the first one to stand behind that.
Mm-hmm. I have a two-part question based off of where this conversation's heading. The first is that, what are the signs that indicate a boundary is needing to be made in a sort of any sort of intimate relationship? Mm-hmm. And then what are the biggest obstacles that you notice that keep people blocked from actually setting those boundaries?
Okay, so to answer the first question, what typically will come up when boundaries have been crossed is a emotion like anger or frustration. Anger is typically one of the first emotions when a boundary has been crossed. And so if you're feeling anger, if you're feeling frustration, it's important that you dig below the surface. Like, why is this here? What's going on? Because every emotion, it's there to teach you. There's no bad or wrong emotion. And so what is this here to show me? And then the second part of your question, ask me again, please.
Yeah, what are the biggest obstacles you've noticed that block people from setting the boundaries that they know that they need to set?
Honestly, I would say there's certain aspects of lack of self-love or lack of self-confidence. I'm afraid of being rejected or kicked out of the tribe. I don't think I can do better than this. So we've got like lack of self-esteem, mindset. Like, I don't believe I could do better. Typically, most of our issues stem from childhood, because from 0 to 7, we're in a completely different state where we take everything in as truth. And so if we haven't done the inner child healing when we get older, or if there was something modeled to us by our parents, when we get older, we'll just recreate that. And so maybe as a child, you were never taught that it was okay or safe to speak up, to be seen, to be heard. Maybe mommy or daddy were controlling and they made all the decisions for you. So you never got to think or act or speak for yourself. They had your whole life planned for you. And so as an adult, unless you've done some healing work to look at that and work on that, you're just going to replay that exact same pattern. And so if I could put an umbrella statement over it, I would say the majority of it does stem from childhood, where it wasn't safe to speak up. It wasn't safe to be seen. It wasn't safe to be heard. And so you're just replaying that as an adult.
So what I'm hearing is like noticing when we feel frustrated, when we feel angry, that's an invitation to get more curious and what's under the surface. Also with that, I'm wondering, is there other emotions that we could be feeling, like sadness, grief, I don't know, like these other, I'm just like trying to think in my relationship. Sometimes I'm not even sure where a boundary needs to be, like, and so, and I don't want to wait until it gets like to the point where, you know, I'm like super sad or super angry. So is there like, are there more subtle ways that we can also set boundaries, like even in the beginning of a relationship, or more proactively, to avoid it getting to the point where our boundary gets crossed?
Yeah. And so this is where communication comes in. Like, let's say you have a boundary around calling if you're going to be late. Like, for whatever reason, something happened in the past, or quality time is your love language, or you just get annoyed when people are late, especially your partner. Well, the first time it happens and you're starting to feel that annoyance or frustration or maybe a tinge of anger, that's when it's important to bring it up. Or even on a first date and he shows up on time, you could say, I so appreciate you showing up on time. Just so you know something about me, I have a thing around people being late. And if they don't let me know, I'm going to get annoyed. And so you can look at it in the positive. When someone does something that you appreciate, you can let them know, because the opposite would really annoy you or push a button. Or maybe a boundary is flirting with other women. Like, maybe you've been cheated on in the past and you feel still a little bit insecure. Well, maybe once you start dating or getting to know each other, you can bring it up and say, you know, just so you know, this has nothing to do with you, but I'm still pretty sensitive about my partner having girlfriends. And I'm not saying you can't have girlfriends, but it would be really helpful for me if you let me know when you were going out with a woman and where you were going and who it was, you know. And so it's like, you can communicate that stuff in advance if you know what your individual triggers are.
And that goes back to understanding the trauma from our childhood and what we're still healing, and how we can communicate that in a way that we're still taking responsibility for ourselves and our own traumas, but we are also advocating for what we need.
Yeah, exactly. Simple as that. And so that's why I'm such a big component of healthy communication. And it's a big, big aspect of what I teach my clients and work with, because a lot of women do have that fear of speaking up. It's that fear of rejection, or it's, I just don't think that I'm good enough or worthy enough to get what I want or have what I want or whatever it is. And so really understanding that whatever it is that you want is right for you. There's nothing wrong with whatever it is that you want. And whatever boundaries you have of what feels best for you, there's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely perfect. Like, what affects Heather is going to be different than what affects Alfina, which is going to be different than what affects me. We all have different boundaries. And we also need to remember, like, think about children. They actually feel safer when they have boundaries, when they understand the limits, when they know this is the safe space. And so we've also have to reframe our mindset around boundaries being a bad thing, or I'm mean because I have boundaries. It's actually a very good thing. It lets others know, in like a safe space, this is the container. These are the rules. And so people actually really thrive in having structure and having boundaries and having an understanding of how it is that you need to be treated. But again, the sooner you can establish your boundaries with other individuals in your life, then the relationship will either continue forward beautifully, or it'll be very clear in the beginning, this is absolutely not a fit. And so that's why I say the sooner the better, especially with things that are really big and important or like traumatic or triggers, like if we say on the extreme end. But on the smaller end, like, you know, a boundary is different than a trigger. Like, oh, you didn't load the dishwasher. Like, that's not a boundary. Cheating on me or talking to another woman, like, that's probably a boundary. Or cursing at me, that's probably a boundary, right? Like, there's differences, and like, this is a boundary versus this is an annoyance.
Yeah. What I'm hearing you speak into is that a boundary is a direct line to protect our hearts as they heal from a past, like, transgression, from like a past situation. Like, that's part of it, right? Like, I have this like tender, maybe broken part of myself that I'm healing, and it's my responsibility to speak into it to you, to actually give you the opportunity to meet me in it, as opposed to just not speaking about it and then feeling potentially resentful and angry on the other side. So having this like deep personal connection with like with your body, with your limits, with what you're healing is also really important on this boundary journey as well.
And I would even say, to add on to that, what affects your feeling of safety? Mm-hmm. And so it might be annoying, let's say, if someone's late, right? Like, I wouldn't even say being late is a boundary, but if someone was consistently late, then they're not probably going to be in my life, because that to me is disrespectful, because that's how I would view it. But a boundary is, I think, is what keeps us feeling safe. Mm-hmm. And so if my partner's cursing at me, I'm not going to feel safe. If my partner's raising his voice at me, I'm not going to be safe. If my partner's out to who knows when and he won't tell me where he went, I don't feel safe. And so the boundaries are there to keep us safe. And yeah, a part of that's going to be, if I'm doing some healing and working through some trauma, then I might need to have some stronger boundaries to feel safe. Versus, I think about me today versus me 10 years ago, I don't have nearly the same boundaries I did before, because I've done a lot of healing work. If anything, my boundaries are stronger in some areas, but more lax in other areas. And what I mean by that is, I've done a lot of healing work around jealousy. And so I don't care if my partner goes out with other women. Like, I completely trust him. If he's like, hey, I'm going out with my girlfriend for dinner, great, awesome, go enjoy, have fun, have a beautiful night. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, I'd have been like, is he cheating on me? Like, what's going on? Why does he have a girlfriend? And so I probably would have had a strong boundary around, like, no, you're not allowed to have girlfriends, because that would have been a reflection of my own jealousy. And so our boundaries are going to shift and change over time as well, as we're doing the healing work. We're going to let up some boundaries in certain areas, and then we might strengthen boundaries in other areas.
Yeah, something I noticed in my past two relationships ago was, anywhere that we had a boundary, when he honored it, it would begin to naturally soften. And I'm not saying other people are responsible for like healing us through boundaries, but it was just a byproduct that I noticed that was really beautiful, was when I had a boundary of something that I was healing or working through or bothered me, if he fully honored it and held it and met it, like, over time it would soften and I wouldn't necessarily have that boundary any longer. It was this perpetually shifting, transforming, evolving animal. And,
I'd say it's because you felt safe with him. Like, as you set the boundary and he honored it, it's like, oh, okay, I feel safe with you. Maybe I don't need to set this boundary anymore, because boundaries are there to keep you feeling safe.
Well put. That was it. It's so directly tied to safety.
Mm-hmm. So if you really want to feel safe, even more reason to set the boundaries. And why women end up in situationships where there's no clarity or definition around the container they've set is that they're afraid to speak up and set those boundaries, right? And so then it's murky waters. Whereas when you set the boundaries, you've set the container. And then others get to decide, like, am I willing to meet these boundaries so that I can be in this container with you?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing mm-hmm. that.
And besides safety, what are the other ripple effects, the other benefits of setting boundaries in our lives with anyone?
I mean, safety really is the big one, I believe, with boundaries. But secondarily, we can also tie this into manifestation, right? Getting what you want. Like when you set those boundaries, so let's say we'll use Heather's example of I'm looking for a serious committed relationship. So if you set the boundaries around what that means for you and you're speaking it, and let's say you're not sleeping around because you really want that serious committed monogamous relationship, then the boundaries that you set and enact are going to help you get what it is that you want. If the boundary is, I will not put up with a man who yells or curses at me, and so you say no to any man or even a girlfriend or even a family member, then that means your life is going to be filled with people that don't yell at you and curse at you, right? And so whatever your boundaries are, this is a big part of you creating what it is that you want. So it's part of manifestation. Like if you want to create the relationship and life of your dreams, boundaries are non-negotiable. Otherwise, like, what are you going to get? You're going to get whatever the universe throws at you because you keep saying yes to whatever it is that shows up. And so a boundary is you saying no to what you don't want and yes to what you do want so that you can continue to get more and more and more of what you do want.
Yes, universe, I want more of what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's more where of what feels good.
Exactly. So it's like we say no. Those are boundaries. Like nope, 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 nope. So that we can receive yes, 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 what we want.
And sometimes we have to learn through trial and error. That's how I am anyway with my human design.
That's how we learn everything. Like that's life.
especially boundaries, though. I feel like that's one of those areas that I'm more of that person that's like, yeah, I'm down to try everything, probably because I grew up with like very little boundaries, very little respect for boundaries. And so that's just how I've kind of gone into my adulthood life, not really understanding how to respect other people's boundaries, not even knowing what my own boundaries are. And just in the last few years, really like cultivating that practice and getting so much more attuned to my truth and what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And adjusting along the way, like you're saying, it's like just because we set a boundary today doesn't mean that's set in stone forever, or even mm-hmm. tomorrow we get to change our minds as much as we want, and we get to have different boundaries with different people for different seasons of our life. And I think that also helped me to not put so much pressure on when I share a boundary, and not to put so much pressure on our partners or our friends or our family either. Like in my family right now, there's a little bit of estrangement, people not talking to people. And I think that that can be really scary of like, oh my goodness, we're never going to talk again. But it's just it can just be a temporary thing, like Heather is saying, to create long-term peace. And sometimes we have to create that boundary that's a little bit more intense for a short period of time in order to have that long-term peace
well said.
In relationships.
Yeah, it's almost like the old relationship is ending, right? And you were meeting that person where you were. And then when you create the boundary, sometimes there's that space in between of the rebirth, right? And like that could take some integrating for the other individual or just some processing time, you know, to really say like, oh man, like how do I even do it? Like, because I believe when we're true to our boundaries and we're in our pillar of truth, it gives other people the opportunity to do the same. And it's likely that like how you grew up, Elfina, the people around you didn't have boundaries. You didn't have boundaries. So when you actually create a boundary, that might be the first time or their first experience with someone asserting a healthy boundary. And so for them, they're like, wait, what? Like, what is this? Like, how do I this world? And there's that kind of gap and lapse in between the relationship where they're taking space. So that makes so much sense. Mm. I think you've experienced that.
Yeah, this is super interesting. And I would love to even just open up this conversation around boundaries to all sorts of boundaries in our lives outside of just relationships, like romantic relationships, but even just talking about like boundaries with technology, boundaries with our phone, boundaries with our time, like all these ways that really boundaries are in everything, financial boundaries, right? Boundaries with our health, health and wellness and our schedule and our routine. And yeah, like I guess something that Heather always says is how we do one thing is how we do everything. So I'm wondering what you guys think, but when we set a boundary with like a lover or we set a boundary with a family member, how do you think that relates to all these other boundaries in our life? And yeah, I guess like I don't really know what my question is, but I would just love to talk about how boundaries are so connected in all of our lives. And if you think that having stronger boundaries in one area does help the other areas or how they're connected.
I absolutely think they're connected. I have also heard the expression, how we do one thing is how we do all things. And I don't know if I 100% agree with that, but there's definitely a lot of truth in that whoever you're being, you're bringing yourself into every single situation. And so if I'm working on boundaries with a partner, it's also going to help me strengthen boundaries with a friend or with a parent or with a colleague, right? And if I'm working on, let's say, setting boundaries around my food and exercise because I'm working on getting stronger and fitter and losing weight, then that mental endurance that I've built up in that category is most likely going to transfer over into another category, right? Because who we're being is who we are in every single category. And so I think there is a positive carryover effect when we work on boundaries in one area. And at the same time, though, it might be really easy for you to have boundaries around screen time, but as a recovering people pleaser, it's really hard for you to say no if a girlfriend calls you up and needs help. Right. And so just because you're good at setting boundaries around one category doesn't mean that you're good in all of the categories.
I want to be great in all of the categories.
Don't we all, darling?
Top notch boundary setter. And yeah, something that I would love to just like dive into a little bit more, because I know you predominantly work digitally and Elfina and I have been talking a lot about this, specifically around boundaries with technology and our phone, like how being an individual who like predominantly works on like your phone and your computer, do you set personal boundaries with yourself? And what the heck does that look like?
I do. And so first thing, because yeah, I'm on the phone all the time. So in the morning, my phone doesn't turn off of airplane mode until after I've done my practice. So after I've had my coffee, my meditation, my journaling, like my me time. And then when I do my work throughout the day, when I'm done with work, I'm pretty much off my phone. Like I'm off Instagram, I'm off Facebook. I'm done until the next day, because especially for me, I have so much screen time. One thing that people are always amazed with is that I rarely post my Instagram stories in real time. It's usually the next day. So like when I'm living my life, I'm living my life. I might take pictures and videos, but I'm not then jumping to share it online. And so I do have pretty good, not perfect, pretty good boundaries around these are my work hours, these are my screen time hours. On the weekends, like when I'm with friends, I'm with friends. If I'm with my partner, I'm with my partner. If I'm camping, phone is off, right? It's like, I know that I need to unplug from the dopamine hits. And for me, quality time is my number one love language. So I want to be with the people that I am with. I don't want to be on my phone. And honestly, one of my pet peeves is when I'm with people and I look around and like everyone's on their phone. I was like, are we not here? Hello, we're here together. And I think this is a problem with the younger generations. I mean, I'm older 30s, but I would say mid to young 30s and especially 20 somethings, like they're attached to their phones. And so, yes, I have absolutely strong boundaries. Am I perfect? No. Like even the other night, it was like 7 p.m. and I was scrolling. I was like, wait a second, I don't want to be on my phone. And so I put it away and I just turned it off. I put it on airplane mode. I'm like, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, I can respond to them tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. when I turn my phone on. So I even have, because I have an iPhone, like it turns on like the sleep timer an hour before I go to bed. And so it puts it automatically in do not disturb mode. And so, yes, I do it myself, but if I don't, it will automatically do that for me, which is wonderful. And then because it's in airplane mode and I don't turn it on in the morning, first thing when I'm like, I don't roll over and grab my phone, I set my intentions. I have my morning. Then when I'm ready for the world to come at me, I'll turn my phone on. And I'll tell my clients, I'm like, you can text me whenever you want. I'm like, but I will respond during business hours. So, you know, I set those boundaries with them.
Something, this is really inspirational and something I used to practice really strictly. And I found myself slowly like sliding back into, okay, I'm going to just go, I'll just check my WhatsApp messages. And then that turns into Instagram. And I love the like 1 hour before bed and 1 hour in the morning, at least to be on airplane mode. Mm-hmm. And what I'm realizing as I'm like hearing you share all of this is that you, because of your strong boundaries in with your phone and with social media, right? You naturally, that naturally creates boundaries in other areas. It naturally affects your boundaries with friends because now people can't get a hold of you between these hours. Right. And so that's affecting your relationship boundaries, and you're not going to be online late night shopping, right? So that's now affecting your financial boundaries. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be like distracted on your phone and not get your workout in, right? So now that's affecting mm-hmm. your health boundaries. So it's mm-hmm. like the more that we are grounded in one area, it like it takes out those leaky areas and allows us to be like every area to kind of be in their own lane instead of sleeping into each other in like this kind of messy pond. It's like these clear rivers that are all just able to flow in their own stream.
And I think the phone boundary is the one that would affect pretty much every single human being the most. And mm-hmm. so the only notifications I get on my phone is text and WhatsApp. Voxer for my clients, I have to go in and check when I want to check out. And the only reason I have WhatsApp and text is because my friends know, like, if they wanted to get a hold of me, that's how they would. But even still, like, my phone right now is on do not disturb. I'm going to have zero notifications come through. And most of the time, like, my phone is face down. Like, when I want to look at my phone, I will pick it up and look at it. And so I think having stronger boundaries around our phones is one of the most important things that we can do. As you were saying, Elfina, that's going to ripple out and affect so many other areas of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. This is great. I'm taking so many notes around this because, yeah, I too have, I've played with so many structures around technological boundaries. And then just end up kind of like rolling over and checking my phone and not feeling like I'm respecting myself and what I truly desire, which is like peace and quiet in the morning. Right. And for everyone, it's going to be different.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm glad that we touched on this, and something that just came through my channel is like a bit more on the taboo side of things. So I just want to like ask your permission before we dive in, but we are a taboo community, and something, that's coming up is around boundaries in the bedroom and boundaries within the space of our sexuality. Because there's this collective story that I've at least noticed within my being and in the space of friendships, we've discussed it. It's like, do you have a discussion before you engage in something physical with someone about like what you're available for and what you're not available for? Because I imagine like, you know, things arise in the moment and like, how are you directing clients to manage those things as they come up? How do you personally manage them as they come up? Because there's a story that I have that it's like unsexy, right? It's like unsexy to say like, oh, that doesn't work for me. I don't like that in the moment. But like, that's, I feel like it's the best time to do it, but there's still some shakiness for me.
Sure.
And let's talk about sex.
Yeah, let's talk about sex, baby.
Boundaries in the bedroom. This could be a whole episode.
I love it. So here's the thing. It's going to be completely situational and dependent on the person. And so maybe even before the first time you have sex, if your boundary is, I think I have a client right now, she and her partner, they decided they both wanted to be tested before they had sex. So they had the conversation. Obviously, if that's a boundary, you need to have that before you have sex, right? Now, if the boundary is like, when I sleep with someone, it's because we're in a committed monogamous relationship. Obviously you need to have that conversation before you have sex so that you're both in agreement of what it means if we're having sex. Now, if we're talking about like, choke me, spank me, tie me up, then, and you're already having sex, then, you know, that kind of depends. That might be some kinky foreplay where you're talking about what you like or what you don't like, or it might be in the moment where he smacks your ass or sticks his finger up your butt and you're like, whoa, I don't like that. Right? In which case, or it might be like, ooh, I liked that. Give me some more. And so sometimes in the moment is the best way to do it. I'm a big fan of communication. Like I think about, I like to positively affirm with my partner afterwards and talk about the sex and be like, oh, I really liked it that you were a little bit more aggressive tonight. Like that was fun. Maybe next time you could tie me up and blindfold me, you know, like to have those conversations. But then also you could say, was there anything that like you didn't like that didn't really work for you? So you could talk about it afterwards. But if in the moment it is like a strong boundary, and I think about a conversation I had with an ex once, and he was like, yeah, she wanted me to like choke her and like hang her off the bed. And I was just not into that. And it's like, okay, well then that's a stronger boundary of like, I'm just not into that. So I think it's really situational. Like if in the moment you're like, whoa, not cool, then I think it's important to say, and you don't have to say it in an aggressive way, but you can just say, hey, yeah, no, I'm not comfortable with that. But what I would like, you know, and then you can positively shift it. So your partner doesn't feel like they're being shut down. But I mean, healthy sex has to be communicative. No one's a mind reader. Maybe his last partner liked it, so he thought you would, and he's neutral. He's like, I don't care. It's just, I thought you would like it because she liked it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the communication piece is huge. And I think how we communicate something. And so Heather, it's like, how would you want a partner to communicate to you if they were like, not doing it for me, versus that's a turnoff, right? Because there could also be something that they do that is like a big turnoff versus like, yeah, we tried it, didn't really turn me on.
Yeah, I think what's coming through, actually, you introduced me to Layla Martin originally, and yeah. Now like I'm a huge advocate and fan of her work, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah, she's amazing.
But yeah, she's a huge advocate of check-ins, right? Mm-hmm. Like after you physically connect with someone, dropping in and speaking into what you loved and speaking into like what wasn't working for you, yeah, from a really neutral perspective, right? Yeah. Like it's not about you. It's about what came up in me, mm-hmm, and just really being able to hold space for one another in that. But yeah, I really, that was a life changer for me in my last relationship, just yep, saying like, oh, wow, like we can have a digestive conversation after we connect. Yeah. Like yeah, this will continue to shape our sexual relationship as we go on. Yep. So it's super hot. Like, and I want to just normalize conversations around sex, like before, yes, during, after.
Yep. Exactly. And I used to be really shy about it as well. Don't get me wrong. And so over the years, as I've worked on my communication in all areas, guess what? I've worked on my communication with sex. And the sex gets better and better every single year of my life because I know how to communicate and ask for what I want and reflect back and also ask my partner, like, how is this? This is good. And even just like softer, harder, slower, faster, to the left, to the right, you know, like even just little cues like that, because our partners aren't mind readers and checking in during the act. Like, is this good? How does that feel? Right? Like just the communication piece is so huge because nobody is a mind reader. And this needs to carry over to every other area of your life and relationships as well.
Yeah.
The and image I think that's coming through is like when you're at a bowling alley and they give you those bumpers.
Yeah.
The bumpers are like the boundary that keeps your bowling balls, you know, in alignment so that you can just get those pins down. And what I'm realizing about boundaries in general is it's not so much focusing on what we don't like. It's just really realigning someone and ourselves with what we really love. And you can like avoid, like cut out all the BS, cut out all the other things that you just tolerate, whether it's tolerating things in the bedroom that you don't really like, or tolerating conversations that make you uncomfortable or whatever it is. And just going straight to, this is what I love. This is what's in alignment. This is what's a full fuck yes for me. And boundaries just take you right there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm seeing is like, wow, that's really beautiful. You can just be so authentic with people when you're so clear in your boundaries.
Absolutely. And I used to be triggered by women that had really strong boundaries. I think of one of my family members, and I used to be so triggered by her because she was so clear, so direct, almost to the point where I was like, geez, you're such a bitch. But then as I got older, I realized, I'm like, no, I actually admire her, that she's got strong boundaries and she's not afraid to say it. And so I was able to shift my perspective from, you're a bitch, to, that's amazing. I want to be more like you. And so over the years, I have learned to be stronger and clearer in my boundaries of what I'm available for and what I'm not available for. And I don't need to apologize to anyone. Like, this is me. If you want to play in my sandbox, these are the rules to do so.
Yes. Thank you for going into that taboo realm with us. Yeah, it just like popped in. It wasn't something that I like planned on talking about. And I was like, wait, we haven't talked about sexual boundaries. This feels really important.
I think it's important to talk about before, during, and after, like all the time. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, like the check-ins are so important. Like, and it's kind of sexy, like to talk about sex afterwards. Like, hey, I really liked it when you did it, and then they'll know, like, oh yeah, we're gonna do that again then.
Yeah, give me more of that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the before too was like, and I've dropped this in an earlier podcast, but I just want to touch on it again. The RBDSMA conversation. Are you familiar with that, Emerald?
RBDSMA?
RBDSMA.
I don't think so.
It's an acronym that you can have before you get physical with someone, and each letter stands for something to help you remember it. So R is relationship status. Like, are you currently seeing people? Are you dating someone? Like, where are you? B, boundaries. Like, what sort of boundaries do you have? D, desires. Like, what do you desire to get out of an experience? S is sexual health. Have you been tested, etc. All of that. M is meaning. Like, what will you make an experience between us mean? Does this mean that we're like dating? Are we exclusive? Does this just mean like we're just exploring something physically? And then A is aftercare. Like, how do you want to be taken care of after experience? And this for me was like created so much safety. Like, I realize and recognize that like my anxiety, my attachment to an individual person, or my attachment to wanting to have a certain experience dissipated once there was clear communication.
Yep. And honestly,
No, that's pretty much the gist. Take it away.
What I want to say is, if you're not available to have this type of a conversation with someone, you should not be having sex with them or in a relationship.
Yeah.
Serious. Like, period, end of story. I don't care if you're 16 years old or 66 years old. If you cannot have this level of clear communication with someone, you should not be sleeping with them.
Yeah, I just got full body chills. 100%. And like, the beauty of those types of conversations in advance is it's a way to gauge if something's in alignment, right? It's like you're continuously testing to make sure that you're aligned before you share your energy, your body, your time with someone. And so, yeah, I just wanted to bring that back into the space because it felt relevant to the topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hot. It really was. It was like it was a key component in my sexual revolution and me feeling like safe in my body to be able to share my like time and energy with someone. Like, it really just, it grounded in so much, and like that anxiety dissipated, the fear dissipated, the attachment dissipated, like I said, and it was really a revelation. It was beautiful. So yeah, we are on the verge. I feel like this conversation went by in a second, but we're on the verge of wrapping up. And I just wanted to open up the space. Elfina, if you had another question, or Emerald, if you had something specific that was coming through your channel that you wanted to share around boundaries and putting a bow on this beautiful conversation that we've all been a part of.
I mean, I feel like we really have done such a good job around digging into boundaries, and that it's for your safety. It's for others' safety. It's a guiding light to others that might not have had boundaries. Like, it's okay to put yourself first. And in fact, it's best to put yourself first, to put your oxygen mask on first, so that you can be greater of service to others. And so there has to be the reframe around boundaries, especially if you're a recovering people pleaser. And so if you really love to serve others, then the reframe for boundaries is that the stronger boundaries I have, the more of service I can be to others.
Yeah. And something that just, I want to zoom in on to really quickly that just came through is this story that like a boundary is a wall and it's like separating you from another person, because it's actually the opposite. It's like a way to protect and love yourself, and your boundaries are really like between you and you. And you're just communicating that to another individual in real time. Mm-hmm. So like, I hope that's landing and making sense, but there's like, there's a differentiation. It's not like a way to push people away. It's a way to like protect and serve and love yourself. And like Emerald said, like you are worth putting first. You are worth choosing. You are worth prioritizing.
Yeah. I think about like a drawbridge. Like-
That's literally what I was seeing.
I was seeing the drawbridge.
Into a castle.
Like, yes.
Yes. That's exactly the image I was seeing. I was like, yeah, we have to protect the castle. Mm-hmm. But the boundary is like, hey, like you can't enter this part, but like here's the drawbridge. Like here's right. the opening. It's this actually like an invitation for deeper intimacy.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you too, like, because, you know, with this woman you were talking about who you kind of looked up to, but were kind of at the same time, like, she's a bitch and she's super direct. And that's the reputation that I think people with strong boundaries can have. Mm-hmm. So I'm also wondering, how can we say boundaries in a way that's really compassionate, heart-centered, heart-forward? Is there a script or any advice you have for that?
So I don't necessarily have a script, but a practice of taking the space so that you're in your heart and not reaction or not your hurt or not your mind or not your ego. And so even for myself, I might have a strong knee-jerk reaction of like, absolutely not, like no way. But I wouldn't say that in the moment. I might pause and like sit with it and then come back to the person a day later and say, no, that does not work for me, but thank you so much for asking. Simple as that, right? And so to make sure that you're in your heart when you speak just makes the biggest difference in the world. Or also connecting into what is your intention for the end result of this conversation or this relationship with this person. And so if it's a boundary that you have to set with your partner, even more so before you would talk to them about it, well, what's the end result that I want? What am I looking for? And then working your way backwards to, okay, how can I say this to maintain the integrity or the relationship, the integrity of the relationship? And so how can I set the boundary in a kind and firm and loving way? Now, one thing I can say is that we're only ever responsible for what we say and how we say it, but we could never control how the other person perceives it. And so again, that's why we can stop, we can slow down and say, you know, how do I want to say this? But I can't control how the other person's going to receive it. And so if I think about that family member, if I had to critique her, I would say she's not the best at delivering from her heart. She's just like clear and direct and to the point, which is wonderful, but it can also be quite hurtful because it almost feels like a slap rather than a like grab you by the shoulders and say, okay, listen, like that's completely different than like a smack across the face. So there's the tone and the delivery that I think had me kind of recoiling and like, damn, what a bitch, versus the like, okay, she's setting a boundary and I understand.
And I think that helps us to receive it, the other person to receive it so much more, because if we're saying it is like this spiteful way of protecting ourselves, that's really sharp, then people are going to feel that as a defense. And then they're going to want a defense back to it. But if we really want someone to receive our boundary, the more we can make it about us and our heart and our need, and less about something that they're doing wrong or that we're reacting to, then the more that we're going to be received and what we want.
Or even being vulnerable and say, you know what, this is really hard for me to say, or I don't know how you're going to receive this, but I need to say it. I'll preface challenging conversations where I'm setting my boundaries with stuff like that. Just as it's almost like I'm showing my belly. Like, I don't want to say this, but I'm gonna. This is really hard for me, but I'm gonna say it. That can be really connecting as well before you share a boundary.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It feels really collaborative, right? Because the ultimate goal in sharing a boundary with someone is to take care of yourself, but also to enroll them in your boundary, right? Like for them to receive it would be like what my intention was. And if that's the case, then it's really like energetically a collaboration. Like I really desire you to like hold this and see this part of my heart and take care of it. And like, and if you do receive it, then like that allows me to soften and deepen in relationship to you, because I know I can trust you. I can trust you with these tender pieces of myself. And I'm only going to like well, not only, but like traditionally going to speak into these with like people that I really care about and relationships that I really care about. Obviously, boundaries come up all over and in all walks of life and different situations. But yeah, like what you were sharing, Elfina, as opposed to this like defensive, like I'm here to fight. It's like, oh no, like I want to like collaborate. I really want you to like hear this and receive this. This is like, you know, tender. So that's sweet. That's a sweet thing. Love it. All right. Well, we are wrapping things up here. We have covered so much within the space of boundaries, relational boundaries, sexual boundaries, technological boundaries. Like we have traveled into many, many dimensions. And one thing is for sure, it has been like chock full of codes and beauty and embodiment. And just thank you so much, Emerald, for joining us today. We just love having you on the show. And you are a wealth of embodied knowledge and intention. And we're really grateful that you were here with us. And before we wrap, I want to know how people can reach you if they want to follow your work or work with you, and how can they work with you?
So Instagram, when I am on the socials, I am on the Instagram. And so that would be a good place to find me at Manifest with Emerald. There's my podcast, which you already mentioned in the bio, Manifest It All. And I even have a book, Destination Soulmate, which is the 8-week journey to manifesting the love of your life and the life of your dreams. So there's all of that. And then as far as working with me, I sometimes have private spots available. And right now I'm enrolling into my membership called Embodied, which is teaching you boundaries and communication and self-love and manifestation and flirting. And so it's an all-access pass of personal development and self-discovery over a 6-month period. And we've got monthly calls, weekly Voxer coaching. It's truly phenomenal. And so anybody can always reach out and ask me for more information on anything I just shared.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Those are really juicy offerings. Like I was lighting up as you were sharing them. So thank you for bringing those to the world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can reach this beauty on Instagram. And in the interim, I want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Taboo Talks. We would not be here without all of you. And we invite you not to miss a single episode of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds like Emerald. You can subscribe with us on Spotify Podcast, Apple Podcast. You can look for Cis Society Taboo Talks. And if this resonated with you, please, please share these important conversations with those that you love. And if you're interested in joining the conversation, you can send us a message on our Instagram at Cis Society World to be added to our private WhatsApp community where your important voice gets to be heard. Thank you again for tuning in. We love you and we will see you next time. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.